Well, good morning, and welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. I especially want to thank our visitors for coming this morning, and I want to direct most of this morning's lesson to our non-Christian friends. I've heard it asked, why aren't we baptizing more people? It's a good question. Maybe it's the fault of the preacher. Maybe we don't explain to people exactly what it is they must do to be saved. I've been charged as an evangelist by the Apostle Paul to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul also instructs me to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. So I need to be especially careful of what I teach others. So if I've been remiss in my duties as a preacher to preach unto you the conditions of salvation, please listen very closely this morning, and I will let the Holy Scriptures guide us as we learn how to become a Christian. How to become a Christian. It's very important that you open your Bibles and follow along with me, for I don't want you to take my word or never take any man's word, only the word of God on this all-important subject. And I hope and pray at the end of this lesson you will understand what you need to do to become a Christian and take necessary steps to submit to the will of God. So this morning I intend to present you a very simple lesson on how to become a Christian by using the divine word and only the divine word as our source of information. Now after his death, burial, and resurrection, and before his ascension, Jesus gave the apostles the Great Commission. The Great Commission was given on the day that Jesus ascended to heaven. It is called the Great Commission because it committed the apostles what they had not before received, which is the authority to preach the gospel, to publish the conditions of salvation. And the Great Commission is as follows. Come with me to Matthew, the 28th chapter, if you would. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Matthew records the command to teach and to baptize. Now come with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So Mark records the command to teach and to baptize. Let's look together at one other passage. That's Luke chapter 24, if you would. Luke 24. And we'll read verses 46 and 47. Luke 24, verse 46 and 47. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Luke puts down repentance and remission of sins in Jesus' name. So please understand, brethren, the originator of the Great Commission is God. The authority is Jesus Christ. The scope is to all nations or into the entire world. The duration is forever and ever, and the promise is salvation. Up to this time, Jesus had forbidden them to even tell any man that he was the Christ. In Matthew 16, verse 20, it says, then charge he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. But now their lips were unsealed, with only one limitation, namely, they were to wait in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from on high. Luke 24 and verse 49. Now, according to the New Testament pattern, all who belong to Christ have a part in carrying out the Great Commission of Christ given to the apostles, which is teach, baptize, teach. Jesus said the apostle was to be preached to the whole creation. The apostles and the prophets laid the foundation, leaving the complete revelation of Christ and the New Testament. Evangelists preached the gospel to the world and continued to teach and build up the converts, overseeing the churches until they were able to appoint elders to lead them. The elders were teachers who led the saints on to maturity, shepherding and instructing them, and there was also teachers who assisted in the teaching. Parents were instructed to train up their children in the way of the Lord, which involves daily teaching, and each member of the body contributed his part of the growth to the whole body of Christ. Every member of the body has a function to perform, which contributed to the evangelizing of the world in that generation. Now, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, has been given the greatest task in the world. It has been charged with the awesome duty of preaching the gospel to all mankind. The design of that message is to turn people from darkness to light to rescue the perishing. Please look with me at Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts chapter 20. When you get to Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28 with me, if you would. Paul told the Ephesian elders, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Please understand that Jesus purchased his church with his own blood. He did not purchase the Catholic Church, which was, by the way, established 600 years later by men and not by Jesus. And Paul was not talking about the Baptists or the Methodists or Lutherans, Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, Mormons, Adventists, Christian Science, Jehovah's Witnesses, and so on and on. He was not talking about them. Why was he not talking about them? Because these denominations were established at least 1,500 years later than by men and not by Jesus Christ. He did not drop one blood of drop. One blood was never dropped for any denomination. None of Jesus' blood was ever dropped for a denomination. So when you become a member of this blood-bought body, you are called a Christian. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We read about that in Acts 11, verse 26. The question before us this morning, brethren, is how to become a Christian. How to become a Christian. In the book of Acts, the apostles went to work under this great worldwide and age-lasting commission. They began in Jerusalem. They went. They preached the gospel. People heard the gospel. They believed it. They repented and confessed their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and they were baptized. Hence, they were saved from past sins, added to the church by Christ, and they therefore became Christians. In considering the subject of becoming Christian, which is equivalent to being saved from past sins, we should keep in mind that pardon takes place in heaven in the mind of God. Now, we know that a prisoner may hope to be pardoned, but pardon does not take place in his mind. He is pardoned by the Board of Pardons, the governor, or whoever has the authority. Furthermore, information that a prison has been pardoned must be conveyed to him in a way that he can understand it. He cannot depend merely on his own feelings. An alien may become a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. But in order to do so, he must comply with the regulations set down by those in authority, and an alien cannot become a citizen merely through prayer or his own goodness. After he had met every requirement, he still has nothing thereof to glory save in the grace of the goodness of the United States of America. Nevertheless, he must meet these requirements. A sinner cannot become a Christian merely through prayer or his own goodness. Neither can he become a Christian by faith only, not any more so than an alien can become a citizen through just believing in the president. Sinners must comply with the rules and the regulations laid down by the Savior. Salvation is possible because of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the sinner must meet the requirements. Jesus has not, I repeat, He has not promised to save sinners unconditionally. They must meet His conditions or they remain lost. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." The book of Acts serves as an inspired commentary on the new birth, and each conversion is an example of how to be born again. The Lord has made the plan of salvation so plain, not only in words, but also by giving us concrete examples of just how to be saved. If what they did made them Christians, then it will make us Christians today if we will do the same things, and if not, I ask why not. So let's turn our Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, where the first example is found in the second chapter. Acts chapter 2. Now Peter preaches the gospel to a great audience. He preaches the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the exaltation of Christ at God's right hand. And he brings this beautiful, wonderful sermon to a close in Acts 2 and verse 36 through 38 that I'd like for us to read together. Acts 2 and verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now please notice here, now Peter told them to do two things, repent and be baptized. If he had said nothing further, they would have known that both commands were essential, repent and be baptized. However, the Spirit, through the mouth of Peter, made their duty more explicit by stating the reason for such obedience when he said, "Repent for the remission of sins and be baptized for the remission of sins." Both commands were for the same purpose. Both were essential to salvation from sin, and the people understood that both were necessary. Now look at verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." No, my friends, baptism is not an outward sign of an inward grace. Neither is it for an example, nor is it just to get into the church. Let's believe what the Bible says and not what men say. Repentance and baptism are both for the remission of sins. Repentance is a change of mind produced by godly sorrow that leads to a change of life. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Although faith is not mentioned, it is evident from their question and by Peter's reply and their obedience that they did believe. Now turn over to Acts chapter 8 with me. Acts 8. We look at the Samaritans. When the church in Jerusalem was scattered because of great persecution, verse 5 tells us, "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ." Now look at verse 12. "But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." The people heard Christ proclaimed. They heard about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his commands and his promises and whatever. They believed and they were baptized and they were saved from past sins, thus becoming Christians. They were likewise baptized for the remission of sins because God said he would not save the Samaritans on different terms from what was required of the 3,000 that we read about in Acts 2. Now, staying in chapter 8, let's look at verse 13. "Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Simon did what the others did, and Jesus said, remember Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Therefore, Simon was evidently saved also. The miracles that Philip performed served as credentials that God was with him, and they confirmed the message that he preached. Philip could not confirm his power on others, but the apostles could, as seen in Acts 8 and verse 17. Neither Simon nor Philip had a New Testament. It had not been written at this time. Now we have the written word to produce faith, as we read about in John 20, verses 30 and 31. And brethren and friends, miracles are not needed today. We have the written word of God right here, the New Testament. Now we're not finished. Staying in Acts chapter 8, let's look at the conversion of the Ethiopian. Let's start reading in verse 35 and read down through verse 39. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This simple account is too plain to misunderstand. Too plain to misunderstand. Believe it and follow it. Believe it and follow it. Did you confess what this man confessed when you became a Christian? Were you baptized in water as this man was? Did you go down into the water? Baptism is a burial in water and a resurrection of a new life. We will read about in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, which we will read later. Baptism cannot be performed out of the water. If it could, Philip would not have gone down into the water with the eunuch. Sprinkling and pouring for baptism are human substitute for a divine decree. There is neither command nor example for sprinkling for baptism in all the Bible. Nowhere. If you have not obeyed the Lord, then do so, and you too can go on your way rejoicing as this man did. Now turn your Bibles to chapter 10 of Acts. In Acts chapter 10 and 11, where we see Cornelius became a Christian. In Acts 10 and verse 2 and in verse 22, we find that Cornelius was a devout man. He feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always, and he had a good report. Now, doesn't that sound like a good Christian man, a saved man? Yet he was not a Christian. It takes more than being morally good to be a Christian. It takes more than just being religious to be a Christian. In Acts 11, in verse 14, Cornelius was told to send for Simon Peter, who would tell him words whereby he and his house should be saved. He promptly obeyed. When Peter came, he preached Jesus to Cornelius and his household, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as seen in Acts 10 and verse 48. They obeyed and thereby became Christians. Acts 10 and verse 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He didn't suggest that you be baptized. He didn't hint that you be baptized. Or he didn't ask them to be baptized. What did he do? He commanded that they be baptized. And for those who preach that baptism is not essential to salvation, please explain this to me. These were the first Gentiles to be converted to Christ. In order to convince the Jews and assure the Gentiles that God would accept them into the church, thus granting them salvation on the same terms as the Jews, the Holy Spirit fell on all that heard the word. This was not to save them, mind you, but to serve as a witness from God that he would accept the Gentiles. And we see that in Acts 15 and verse 8. And Acts 11 and verse 18 tells us all the apostles understood this. About 21 years later, Paul wrote that there is one baptism, he said, Ephesians 4 and verse 5. About the same time, Peter declared that baptism is now in water, 1 Peter 3 verses 20 and 21. So the baptism that Christ commands is water baptism, submersion. As we continue our study, turn to the 16th chapter of Acts, if you would. 16th chapter of Acts. Now we see here Lydia obeys, and we'll be reading verses 14 and 15. Acts 16, verse 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lydia gave heed unto the preaching to the preaching of the gospel by Paul. She listened to it. She believed it. She was baptized, thus becoming a Christian and having all her past sins forgiven. Now look at Acts 17 and verse 30. Although they are not mentioned specifically, it is evident that Lydia had to repent and confess her faith. Acts 17:30 says, And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Today, all men are to repent. All men everywhere are to repent. We're not done yet. Let's look at the conversion of the jailer in Acts 16, verses 30 through 34. Acts 16, verses 30 through 34. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The jailer asked, What must I do to be saved? Before the sermon, before they even spake unto him the word of the Lord. Brethren and friends, the greatest question ever asked and ever answered is, What must I do to be saved? Faith comes by hearing. We read about that in Romans 10:17. Hence, this man was an unbeliever when he asked the question. He was told to believe, but he could not believe on Jesus until he heard about him. Look at verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. The word of the Lord is that men must not only believe, but also repent, confess, and be baptized. And Jesus said, remember Mark 16:16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The jailer wanted to be saved, so he washed the stripes of Paul and Silas and was baptized the same hour of the night. Jesus said that he was not saved until he was baptized. The jailer was baptized in order to be saved, this very same purpose, the same purpose which all have been baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts 2:38 again. Notice too in verse 34, if you would, he did not rejoice until after he was baptized. Now, if we continue our study on how to become a Christian, let's turn to Acts 18 chapter. Acts chapter 18. In verse 8, And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Paul preached the gospel in Corinth. He preached the death of Christ for our sins, for his burial, his resurrection, as seen in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Many heard, many believed, and they were baptized. They were thereby washed and sanctified and justified and saved according to 1 Corinthians 6:11 and 15 and verse 2. Still not finished yet. Let's turn to Acts the 19th chapter. Look at verses 1 and 5 as we look at the Ephesians. Now, Paul found about 12 men in Ephesus who knew only John's baptism. John's baptism went out of force on Pentecost in A.D. 33. At this time, baptism in the name of Christ began. Remember Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. John's baptism was no longer valid. Hence, Paul taught these men that John's baptism pointed forward to the coming of Christ, and it had served its mission. Come with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he reminded them that they were redeemed in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now turn to Galatians chapter 3 with me. Galatians chapter 3. Paul also wrote to the Galatians that we get into Christ by faith and by baptism. Verse 26 and 27. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now how do we get into Christ? Verse 27 tells us, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Bible baptism is the only way, brethren and friends, to get into Christ. Submersion. Now I want to turn our attention to the conversion of Paul in Acts 22, verses 1 through 16. Acts 22. Now we know that Paul was a violent persecutor of the church until Christ appeared unto him. He was convinced of his error. He confessed Christ and asked him what he must do. Listen to verse 10 of 22. Jesus told him in verse 10 to go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Ananias, being sent by the Lord, went to Paul, and he commanded him in verse 16, listen now, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So what did Saul do? He arose and he was baptized. We see that in Acts 9 and verse 18. His sins were not forgiven. They were not forgiven until he arose and he was baptized. Do you want to be saved? Then do as Paul and all these others did. I want to look at one more conversion. The conversion of the Romans. Paul wrote the book of Romans to the church in Rome. In it he refers to how Christians there were made free from sin. So please follow along with me. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, they believed. Romans 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. They believed, then they repented. Turn to chapter 6 and verse 11. Of Romans. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So they believed, they repented, and they confessed. Look at Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, brethren, now we see that they had believed, they had repented, and they had confessed Jesus as the Son of God. Now, if you would, look with me at Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, and they were then, look at verses 17. Then they were made free from sin. We see that in Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. So I hope you see the sequence here. They believed, they repented, they confessed Jesus as the Son of God, and they were baptized. Plain as day. So easy, anyone can understand it. Now turn with me to Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. They thereby became Christians, members of the Church of Christ. To them, Paul wrote in verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. Romans 16, 16. Now we need to make a few observations before we close our lesson this morning. In all these Bible examples, not one inquiring sinner was told to pray. Not one is told to be born again, which is a figure Jesus used before his death. After his death, both Jesus and all the apostles told people plainly what to do to be saved. Brethren and friends, God is no respecter of persons. Every one of them all had to do the very same things to be saved. Although every requirement is not stated in every case, but plainly implied, yet baptism, now listen, baptism is named in every case that we studied in Acts chapter 2 through 16. Brethren and friends, he's no respecter of persons. And observe also that salvation or its equivalent is always after baptism. And rejoicing likewise is after baptism. Christians added all who obeyed the church. Christ added all who obeyed the church. His church. And he built only one. They were all added to his church after they were baptized. The same as happens today. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. One church, singular. He didn't mention two or three or 100 or 2,000 different denominations. I will build my church. Another thing we notice in baptism was always the same hour of the day or night. It's the final step to one's conversion to Christ. No one was saved by faith only, and no infants were baptized. Any responsible person may become a Christian by following these examples and doing what they did. Now, after becoming a Christian, be just a Christian only, as they were in the New Testament. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, 11 and verse 26. Acts 11 and 26. Now we know that popular denominational writers can write all they want to about how people can be saved in ways that do not include baptism or confession or repentance. But just because something is written in a book by man doesn't make it right unless it is written in this book. This book, the Bible. That's the only thing that matters. So I hope and I pray that you'll consider this matter carefully, and if you have been baptized into a denomination, you have not been baptized at all. I urge you to forsake denominationalism, forsake your denominational baptism and your denominational name, and come to Jesus being baptized with the baptism that He commanded so that He might save you from your past sins, and then He will add you to His church, the Church of Christ. Do not, please do not join a religious denomination, but a local congregation of the Church of Christ. We follow the simple worship of the earth that the early church did, breaking the bread on the first day of the week as we did earlier this morning. We see that in Acts 20 and verse 7. And using only vocal music in worship as we did this morning, Colossians 3:16, and other acts of worship including prayer, preaching, and giving, which is seen in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. So my dear sinner, if you're not a Christian, how can you refuse the Lord? I ask you and I beg you to take advantage. To take advantage of this time and come forward. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. And then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And as I always say, when you rise from that watery grave, you'll be a new creature, born again, and on that way, on that road that leads to heaven. If you are a Christian and you've been backsliding or done some things that you want to get off your chest, and you sin in a way that others are aware of, you too need to take care of that. And you do that by coming forward after you've repented to God, and let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anyone in any way to make their life right with God, come now as we stand and as we sing. Nothing but the blood, right, Bill?
Are you washed in the blood?
Washed in the blood, okay.